Hello, folks. I am your host, Franco Vega, and I want to thank you for tuning in to the Right Way Podcast. On this program, we interview folks who have been through some pain, like my beautiful foster youth, and who have turned that pain into power. To learn more about our organization and our mission, please visit our website at therightwayfoundation.org. Hello, folks. Franco Vega here with you with Right Way Podcast, where you know our theme is to go from pain to power. We have an awesome guest in the building. She goes by the name of Manawia. She's been in our program for a little bit over a year. Awesome college student from the Long Beach community. Welcome, Manawia.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So tell me a little bit. Who is Manawia? Share it with our audience.
Okay. Well, thank you, Franco. Yes, my name is Manawia Franklin. I'm a proud participant of the Right Way Foundation, and right now I am a Cal State Long Beach student pursuing communications with emphasis of governmental affairs.
Wow.
So that's a little bit about me.
So for education for me, communications with a little bit of government affairs, you want to help politicians shine brighter? What's the end goal with that?
I think my end goal is really just to bring people like me who share similar life experiences and to show them that it's possible and we could be in these positions of power, not only for myself, but for everyone in the communities that I identify with.
Awesome. Do you know the rate of foster care youth graduating from college?
I believe it's less than 69%.
No, graduating from college, it's under 3%. On a national level. In California, we're a little bit ahead of everyone at 6%, but it's nothing to brag about. But so you're going to help us raise that rate when you cross that stage. So be proud of that, young lady. All right. So let's talk about your experience in the foster care system. Share with the audience a little bit about that, your background.
Okay. So, well, I am, hence the name, I'm half Polynesian. So I was always so proud to grow up in both cultures. Polynesian and African American. I had those culture impacts. Mm-hmm. Coming from a low economic neighborhood, I would say my parents both struggled with substance abuse, mm-hmm. Both biological. My father was in the gang, like gang affiliations. Mm-hmm. And so, as long as I can remember, we were in the foster care at a pretty young age. We went in about 4 times. So I think by the 5th time, you know, we were bouncing around with relatives and we came out. And all I could remember was first grade, I was in Reno Valley and we were left at school late. And so I guess they had to call the police. So fast forward, you know, my mom came like 6 hours later and we were taken in again by our social worker, and we were in there about 6 months. They were trying to kind of decipher this case and see, you know, how to move forward. And we got in custody, with our aunt, my mother's cousin. So we were raised with our family. However, you kind of get that title of, you know, the kids with, I guess, but the crackhead parents. And, you know, like, we never really had animosity. I think we were very close with our biological mom. And, you know, life is hard, you know, and I never really understood it, how some people became parents. I don't think it was necessarily that they didn't want to, you know, be the best that they could, but I believe they did do the best that they could. In terms of my mom, you know, she kept us to our culture. You know, I think I could, although we weren't raised by her, we still were impacted by her. She taught us street smarts, of course. She taught us how to be proud within ourselves. You know, Polynesian communities, they could be a little bit of that modern day racist. So I don't know if that's something to share, but, you know, she taught us to be proud within ourselves and who we came from. And even if that meant that we were the kids with that title. So I guess what I'm trying to say with all that being said, I also had my own obstacles, personal obstacles. Okay. Not many people know this, but due to my you know, my parents' struggles with substance, I was born prematurely,
Okay. Which
caused me to have a minor case of cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. So that affects your motor skills. Mm-hmm. You know, it could affect your mental ability. Some cases are severe, some cases are minor. And I was fortunate to overcome those stigmas and, I guess, those stereotypes placed on people who identify within the disabled community. So I guess I had my own challenges. You know, as a kid, I had a walker. I had major constructive surgery to be able to walk. I was placed in remedial classes. But I knew that wasn't my journey. And I knew I wanted something more. And I think I had to find that within myself. I couldn't find it in my own biological family, because they had their reservations on certain things. And I couldn't find it, you know, growing up in certain communities, because, you know, I guess a lot of people believe where you start is where you stay. And I believe that, I think it's when you officially start, when you break those barriers, those generational curses. And so that was my intake. That was my beginning.
So you were with Kinship Care, your aunt, through your whole childhood. Did you stay with her and emancipate from her?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. From 2006 to 2017.
Well, I'm a big fan of Kinship Care. If our parents can't take care of us, I would love the similar situation with your family stepped up and took you in. So I'm a fan of that one. I'm not a fan of traditional foster care system where you go to stranger care is what
we call it. You know, I'd like to add, like with Kinship Care, I don't know if it's a little bit more difficult or what, because you kind of have these outrageous pressure of being to prove something that they did do the right thing, or prove some to other people that were more than just the foster kids that they adopted.
Correct.
You know.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I never looked at it that way. A lot of pressure on yourself.
Correct.
You know, because now you're with a family that really, it wasn't in their obligations or God-given. They didn't have you. It was your parents' responsibility. But they stood up, and then you want to show them that they took a good chance on you.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm pretty sure they're proud of you. If they're not, I am. So let's move on. But so how'd you get into college? You know, how was that journey to go from high school and then get into college? Because you're at a top-notch Cal State University in California.
Yeah, I'm very proud. let's just say it wasn't very easy.
Okay.
I moved from Sacramento down here about 2019. Mm-hmm. I had a roommate situation that fell through. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, I was a little homeless. Mm-hmm. So I was couch surfing and kind of staying in like a non-environment. And then I originally started at Sacramento City. Mm-hmm. School remained my top priority. Mm-hmm. So I enrolled in Long Beach City College.
Okay.
So that right there. Shout out to Long Beach City, Guardian Scholars Program.
Awesome.
Those were my mentors.
Nice.
Especially, they really cared in Long Beach City and in Long Beach community in general. Mm-hmm. It just really felt very supportive, very family oriented. And that's where I leaned on. I didn't really get that from my family dynamics, mm-hmm. but I did learn through the educational system that we did have a back. And, you know, that which led me here. Guardian Scholars shouted out the Right Way Work Readiness Program. And little do I know that it turned out to be a life-changing experience, because it wasn't just getting ready for a job. It was getting ready to change and shift your perspective on your overall mission. And I don't regret it one bit.
Awesome. Awesome. So let me fast forward. Give me some biggest obstacles that you've overcame personally that you like to share, that you're proud of. An obstacle that sometimes kids get caught in, that obstacle blocks them from the blessings. What about you? What were some obstacles that you can brag about, or you could share some wisdom so another youth that might hear this podcast say, hey, I'm going through the same thing. Let me
you know, hear what she said. As someone that not only has to overcome like the foster youth title, but someone who also overcame like stigmas with a disability, mm-hmm. you're going to hear the doubts and the naysayers, mm-hmm. even from your close circle. Mm-hmm. But I believe, you know, being homeless and having those physical challenges really shapes your mindset. And at first you want to prove others that you could do it. Mm-hmm. And I think once I stopped and slowed down and realized that it wasn't for other people and it wasn't for the people who said no, but for the people who's looking for a change and for the people who is looking for that hope. And I think that kind of fueled me once I stepped in the Guardian Scholars, the Right Way Foundation, even now at Cal State Long Beach, that it's so powerful what one person can do, not just within themselves, but to show the communities around them that it's possible, that we're more than statistics, we're more than a piece of paper, and we're more than what we started. And I think with us speaking from my behalf, I think the foster kids is just that title, foster, can mean so, you can either take it as power, or actually, let me rephrase that. You can either take it as pain and shift it to power. And that's how I view it now. I'm so proud to, I know, excuse my sad life story in the beginning, but that's how it was. That's how we started.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't supposed to make it this far.
Correct.
Even without the foster title, mm-hmm. even I would have to go through my own struggles as someone who was under the disabled umbrella. Correct. And that was a proud moment for in itself, as little as going to college.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. I hope and I pray you congratulate and you're proud of yourself.
I appreciate that.
You have to be. You got to celebrate yourself.
I appreciate that. I try to be like humble as possible, but you know,
forget being humble. A lot of youth hasn't went through what you went through, and then to come out on the other end very successful, you have to brag to yourself and be proud of yourself, you know. Mm. But let me fast forward before I close it out. What advice can you give to someone, a younger you? What advice can you give to a younger you?
Younger me. Mm-hmm. It starts with you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to look that for validation through. You're not going to find it. Mm-hmm. Through your family, through your siblings, and through your teachers, I bet. Mm-hmm. You got to have to do some self-work. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take time, but I also would tell her to, it gets better at the end, how cliche that is, but mm-hmm. it gets better mm-hmm. once you start. Okay. And I feel like if I listen to those doubts, and if I listen to those teachers that used to tell me that you're going to have some limitations, mm-hmm. if you set yourself to those limitations, you'll be those limitations.
Correct.
So if you set yourself beyond that,
correct,
you could even reach, you will reach that.
Correct.
And if not farther. Correct. And I just want to, not only for myself, but for those who may be in the similar experiences, right, you know, as me now.
Yeah.
So I just hope and encourage people to find that light within themselves. And you're going to have to, you know, someone said to me, the Right Way staff actually, said to me, the more powerful you get or the more wiser you become, you do need to lean more on a mentor. You mm-hmm. need that guidance. Mm-hmm. So you may feel like you have it all together, even at my perspective now. Mm-hmm. I still feel like having that mentor is inevitable. You know, there's there's always power in like-minded people.
Correct.
So you can't do it by yourself. You're going to need a team. And there's no I in team.
I like that. So before we wrap it up, I want to hear more about your projects. You have some special projects going on.
Yes, outside of the Long Beach City Council. So I'm part of the Long Beach Advisory City Council.
Whoa, that's big.
That is very, very special to me. Mm-hmm. But outside that politic world, I was always an ocean girl. Mm-hmm. So this opportunity with Give Volunteers allowed me to kind of study in Hawaii. Cliche, but yes, it's Hawaii. I know it's not abroad. Uh-huh. But this offers me to research with sea turtle conservation. So I'm trying to incorporate, with that being said, I'm trying to incorporate maybe some aspects within like environmental law.
And you're doing a fundraiser for that?
Yes.
Correct. And how much was the goal?
$2,695.
And you just started?
I just started it.
Have you raised anything yet? Or
I raised about $400.
Okay. Well, so count far. Right way down for 500. We got what? You for 500. We'll give 500. Say hello to some beautiful turtles for the right way.
Yes, of course. Wow, and aloha to you guys. Grateful. Thankful.
I want to close it out by sharing with the audience that this awesome young lady has went through many challenges, not only with the foster care system, a label of disability, which I hate labels. Right. And now look what she's doing, you know. So you're a role model for young ladies coming up behind you and some young men coming up behind
you. Yeah, definitely. You know.
So keep up the good work, and whatever support you need from us, we have your back. I want to thank the audience for tuning in. Please tune in next week. We're going to interview another awesome person coming out the system. Peace. God bless.
Thank you.